Chapter 3. Close Encounters. We're all familiar with the idea of finishing someone else's sentences. With a shared outlook, we see things the same way. Each person is tuned in to the other. At the opposite end of the spectrum, interrupting another person to inject a different ending based on your own perspective indicates friction. The phrase, "let me finish," is baked into many such conversations. Put simply, when the ego is engaged, we don't want to let other people into our physical or emotional space, and we certainly don't want to be interrupted. In The Secret Life of Pronouns, social psychologist and linguistic pioneer James W. Pennebaker unearths a network of correlations between language, thought, and personality. He explains that the use of what are called function words, even by those whom we have just met, reflects and fortifies an emotional bridge and indicates their desire to let us into their space and to enhance our emotional synchronicity. Research finds that an increase in function words positively predicts mutually successful outcomes in almost every arena, from the cohesiveness of a work group to the peaceful resolution of a hostage negotiation. To best explain how this works, it's time for another quick grammar lesson. There are two classes of speech, content words and function words. Content words are nouns, verbs, adjectives, and most adverbs. For example, cash, breathe, learn, tall, and slowly. They communicate the gist of the message, the substance and the main content of what is being said. Function words, such as pronouns, prepositions, and articles, are the grammatical glue that provides cohesion and fluency. For example, I, over, at, through, in, an, and the. These words have little or no meaning outside the context of the sentence and require shared knowledge or the same frame of reference to be understood. For example, to comprehend the sentence, "he put them over there," requires both the speaker and the listener to have a common perspective. Both parties know who he is, what them refers to, and where there is. For this reason, an angry person, one who is uninterested in a shared experience, much less a connection, employs concrete, unambiguous language because it is you versus him. There is no us or we. This means the use of unequivocal syntax with a complete subject and pronoun. For example, "I told you not to let the dog out of the backyard," rather than, "I told you not to let him out of there." The meaning of the first sentence is explicit and does not rely on a mutual point of reference. When you were young and your mother called you by your full name, you knew that you were in trouble. Likewise, with our spouse, when we're in hot water, terms of endearment are few and far between. But if they're calling us sweetheart or lovey, please see Gilligan's Island reruns for this dated reference, then we're probably not in too much trouble. Consider the following pair of sentences. Statement 1. Remember, I asked you to put them over there when you got back from seeing her. Statement 2. Remember, I asked you to put the keys in the kitchen next to the toaster the minute you came back from your sister's house. Note that the first sentence, which is rich with function words, is less intense than the second sentence, which has more content words. Spoken softly, the tone of the first sentence shifts and may be heard like a gentle reminder. Do the same with the second sentence, and the anger still comes through with a quiet intensity, much like someone seething and trying hard to keep from exploding. Let's take another example, where you find yourself at an office party and an all-too-intoxicated colleague comes over to rub your shoulders. An unbridled angry reaction would be clear and definitive. For example, Take your hands off me. I don't want you touching me. Or, who asked you to come over here and touch me? The speaker leaves no room for misunderstanding. A more submissive response, which reflects the person's personality or lower status, is conveyed through linguistic softening that minimizes or eliminates the content words. For example, I don't really like that. Or, oh, no thanks. New encounters. When two people meet, the more quickly they establish a shared perspective, the more they seek to share the experience and forge a connection. An increase in function words shows not only each person's attempts to engage the other, but also the degree to which these efforts are reciprocated. Let's take two looks at a generic scenario with near-identical interactions, except the first exchange uses more function words, the second, more content words. Scene 1, Take 1. Waiting in line at a coffee shop. Boy meets girl. Boy. Wow, sure is crowded. Girl. Yeah, it's always like this here. Boy. Really? Crazy long line. Girl. Yep, but it really moves. Fast? Super. That's good because it's boiling in here. Yeah, I know. Do you work nearby? Yeah, over at Onyx on... Oh, on Bleecker. The big black building? That's the one. You? I'm over at Carlson's Tavern. The new one? Yep, all shiny and bright with red paint. That's the one. I'm up next. Oh, enjoy. This sounds like a typical, mildly flirty exchange between two young people enjoying pleasant chit-chat while in line. Now, let's change the language slightly, and you'll see how quickly our perception of their interaction shifts. Scene 1, Take 2. Waiting in line at a coffee shop, boy meets girl. Boy. Wow, sure is crowded. Girl. Yes, Coffee Queen is always crowded. Boy. Really? Crazy long line. Girl. It is a long line, but it moves fast. That's good because it's boiling in here. It is warm in here. Do you work nearby? Yep. Whereabouts? I work over at Onyx. Do you like working there? I do. I work over at Carlson's Tavern. Oh, okay. Yep, they repainted it bright red. Oh. I'm up next. Okay, enjoy your coffee. The girl is now polite, but is obviously less interested here. Let's continue to play out the scene whereby the barista hands the girl both drinks and she, in turn, gives the boy's drink to him. Take note of each phrasing. There's your drink. And here we are. These three simple words can reveal a treasure trove of information. There's, non-immediate, signaling distance. Your, oppositional. Drink, concrete noun. Or, here, immediate, signaling closeness. We, united, a bond. Are, function word, relying on shared knowledge. When a teacher hands back a marked test, a chef presents a new dish, or an architect unrolls a set of blueprints, there is a world of difference between here we are and there you go. The logic is crystallized when we think of someone who is terribly upset with another person. It is unlikely that he would say, here we are, unless he's offering up a poisoned drink. Although I can't overstate the danger of reading too much into a single phrase, and there you go, does not signal hidden disdain, language that reflects closeness and connection is a reliable indication that one person is, at the very least, not hopping mad at the other. In other words, it's important to reemphasize that there you go should not be construed as emotional distance, but that here we are can be read as emotional closeness. Can I have your attention, please? What do words and phrases like these have in common? Believe it or not, actually, As a matter of fact, basically, as it turns out, honestly, and essentially, I call these conversational spotlights. They are used to draw attention to what we are saying when we want to magnify the significance of our message. Remarkably, they indicate two entirely different things based on the context of the interaction. When used by someone who is trying to sway another, a guilty suspect being interrogated, their use may indicate deception. See Chapter 6. However, when used non-sarcastically in a casual conversation, they mean that the person is open and interested in the conversation and is trying to engage and perhaps impress. Let's pepper our coffee shop exchange with a few of these conversational spotlights. Note how they suggest a budding connection. Scene 1, take 3. Waiting in line at a coffee shop. Boy meets girl. Boy. Wow, sure is crowded. Girl. Yeah, believe it or not, it's always like this in here. Boy. Really? Crazy long line. Girl. Yep, but it really moves. Fast? Super. That's good because it's boiling in here. Yeah, I know. Do you work nearby? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm over at Onyx on Bleecker. The big black building? That's the one. You? Actually, I'm over at Carlson's Tavern. The new one? Yep. All shiny and bright with red paint. You know it. That's the one. I'm up next. Oh, okay. Enjoy. Recall that even in uncomfortable circumstances, a la our intoxicated colleague from the previous scenario, some people have difficulty asserting themselves and expressing their disinterest. To do so would simply be impolite. The language patterns that people use in relationships, both personal and professional, also expose their perception of status and control within the relationship, even one that's 5 minutes old. More profoundly, how people see others and view relationships discloses a wealth of insight into their emotional health. In the next chapter, we will begin to decode the language of power and personality.